The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Apologetics Canada podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Terry Crosby.
As you might have noticed, Andy's not here. When the boss is away, it's time to play. So let's play.
Let's go.
So I'm back from my week-long trip in Korea.
And how was that?
It was good.
Lots of travel. That's a lot of miles in the air.
A lot of miles in the air. 8,000 kilometers away.
Wow.
That's where Seoul is. And then I had to travel down to the city of Daegu where I was born and raised. So it was, I mean, go to the airport, you know, you do your thing and wait till you board, right? So that's like 3 hours right there. And then you get on board. It's 11-hour flight going there.
Oh, my goodness.
9 hours coming back.
And so wow, yeah.
You get there, you land, you go through customs and everything. And then we had to take a train down to, for 2.5 hours down to Daegu.
Wow.
And then from there, somebody came to pick us up. So it was another 40-minute drive.
That's a day's travel.
Yeah. And Maya, I took Maya with me. She's 3 and she took it like a champ. I was so proud of her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strange environment. You know, everything is different. And all these strangers, my relatives, you know, are trying to talk to her and they don't understand her and she doesn't understand them. So she was looking for mommy a lot at first, but towards the end of it, she was pretty attached to my grandma and one of my cousins. So that was really neat to see.
How was the flight for her? Like she, I noticed that you appealed to some games for your new iPhone,
yeah,
right?
That was my saving grace. Yeah. I just basically gave her my phone and said, have at it, right?
Yeah.
It's on airplane mode, so it's not like she can do a whole lot of like in-app purchases or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, go for it. She played for a bit and then she took a nap. I basically, because she might feel some motion sickness, I gave her a little bit of like kids gravel kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that made her drowsy, right? So
that's
really
helpful.
Yeah. So here's a little tip for you.
Yeah. That's free.
Yeah.
That's free.
It's better than getting her all like queasy and miserable for the whole flight. So yeah, so it was good. I got to see my grandmother. She's getting quite frail. And like I said, on Facebook, on our Facebook page, this will probably be the last time I see her in person while she's still living, because I only get to go back to Korea every 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'll last that long.
Yeah.
Although,
and she's been pretty prominent in your life, right?
Yeah, she basically raised me.
Yeah.
Because of some family circumstances. And so in a lot of ways, she is a mother figure to me.
Yeah.
And so
how old is she?
She's 90.
90. That's
yeah,
a good life.
She was born in 1927, right during the Japanese colonial occupation there. And then she went through the Korean War.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So she's had a really tough life, but
yeah.
Through all of that, she came to know the Lord, and that has had a huge impact in my life.
Right.
And now I'm serving in this ministry, so
yeah,
a lot of that, I owe that to her, really.
Yeah, a little tribute to her today, for sure.
Anyway, on the way back, we apparently caught a bug, and Maya and I have been sharing that. So my voice is doing better, but my nose is still a little plugged. So we're sorry about that. Now let's jump into things. This is the last podcast for the year. I don't know what y'all are thinking about, New Year's resolutions and things like that. I have one New Year's resolution, and that is I already am kind of careful about this, but I'm going to be even more careful about fake news on Facebook.
Fake news, yes.
Yeah. I basically want to develop a healthy habit of, you know, checking my sources and things like that. I have shared stuff on Facebook before where people challenged it. Like, I mean, is this legit? And one of them, the story was legit, but the way it was framed was not so legit. That sort of thing. So I want to be even more careful about this. Now, with social media, you see all kinds of things on it, right? And one of those things is fake news, or, you know, depending on your view on things, satire, right? Because some satire pieces, they are made to look pretty legit. So if you are not careful, you think it's for real. And I saw one like that, I think a couple of years ago, when somebody shared on Facebook from CBC's, that's, and by CBC, I mean Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC's This Is That. You might have heard about that. It's a satire kind of a segment of CBC. And they released a story of this woman who adopted a puppy, and she was demanding a 40-week paid maternity leave. And I remember seeing that on Facebook, and I was thinking to myself, what? How can people be so stupid? And there were all these people chiming in, you know, saying stuff like, well, I hope she develops a really good, you know, breastfeeding bonding moment with this puppy, yada, 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 making fun of her or whatever. Turns out it was a satire piece.
Yeah.
Right. So some fake news, you know, some satire pieces are a little bit lighthearted like that, but there are some pretty serious
ones. It became very prominent with the last presidential election, for sure. And I was amazed about how much was out there and the amount of people that were duped by certain stories.
Did you have anything specific?
Well, there was one about an FBI agent suspected in Hillary email leaks was found dead in apparent murder-suicide. This came out during the election. Well, this got a... This was shared on Facebook 500,000 times, people believing that this actually happened when it was just made up. I mean, there's numerous stories like that.
Do we happen to know who made up that story by any chance?
Yeah. Actually, there's a whole article here that I tracked down, and it's about a guy named Justin Kohler. So he has actually about 25 writers that work for him specifically.
Okay.
To make up fake news.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was one of his that he put out there.
I wonder what his connection is to whatever. I mean, I've been hearing about how Russia got involved in all of this, and they've been putting out fake news that cost Hillary Clinton her presidential election, that sort of a thing. Like, I mean, I don't know too much about that. I just heard that that kind of opinion is out there.
Yeah.
But yeah. Some fake
now
news stories, man.
Investigation by Obama, you know, into that to get to the bottom of it. You know, how much effect did that have on the election itself? But just, I mean, just the stories themselves that came out, and specifically through Facebook. And it says in this article that he targeted Facebook because of the amount of information that was going through there, and it was easier to access. And the other piece was that he was making money off of it.
Okay.
For every story, he said it was a financial gain.
Right.
So the amount of clicks that he got for this story gave him some money in his pocket.
Right.
And each story could get up to $30,000, he said.
Wow.
People clicking and viewing it, right?
You know, it's funny. In the midst of all of this, I remember seeing an article on Facebook that said something about there was this asteroid that was headed towards the Earth, and that, you know, Earth had like 3 weeks or something like that.
Right.
And then you click on it and you actually read it, and it says something like, you know, half the people on Facebook will just read the title without actually reading the article itself and share it.
Right.
And so it was kind of making that point. Like, if you shared this without reading this, you just got duped, because this was to make the point that, you know, people do exactly what you just did.
Yeah.
But you share it just based off of the title. And there are so many like clickbait titles out there, right? And I remember seeing this one little cartoon piece, and here's one guy saying, you know, what do we want? Clickbait. When do we want it? The answer will shock you. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so it just gets a lot of attention, right? And I wonder if all of this has to do with just us being lazy.
Yeah,
some of it I think is laziness. Some of it might be ignorance, like we don't know how to sift through the sources and things like that. But in other ways, it's just sheer laziness. We don't want to put in the hard work of actually reading the article and processing it before sharing it.
Well, we're trusting our friends too that are sharing it, thinking they might have done, you know, the work on it. But
this is true.
I mean, actually, there was one study done by a Stanford group, and they basically said, a lot of times they believed the article because of the way it looked. Mm. It was presented nicely. I mean, if you click on, you know, other connections with that article, it would have been, you would have realized that this is kind of fake news. But the appearance of it really made people believe it.
Yeah, like, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Because I know when I go to a website, if the website looks tacky,
right,
like it doesn't matter how solid the content is, like if it's not delivered correctly, I am kind of skeptical. I'm like, if this guy or gal can't even put in the effort to make this website look decent,
yeah,
then how can I trust this person to have done the work in journalism? Now, isn't that the same study that showed that some teenagers couldn't even tell the promoted stories,
right,
apart from the others?
Yes. There was a comparison between two, a real one and a promoted one, and they couldn't figure out the sources. They couldn't figure out the people that were involved writing it, the sources themselves. So this study from Stanford showed an inability by students to reason about the information they see on the internet. The authors said that they had a hard time distinguishing advertisements from news articles or identifying where information came from.
Right. And see, when I read stuff on the internet, wherever it says promoted stories,
yeah,
like I guess I have some rudimentary understanding of this, right? Somebody's actually paying for this to show up, and this doesn't necessarily reflect the opinion of the news website or whatever website that it's hosted on.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I don't read the promoted stories unless it looks a bit more legit than others, right? If it's anything too sensational, I'm just like, ah. It just doesn't look credible to me.
Doesn't click, so, yeah.
Yeah, just move on. Now, Christians are certainly not exempt from this, and you shared with me a couple of articles. There were some fake news stories that were going around that lots of Christians kind of jumped on board, and one of them was Costco. Apparently, they had the Bible out, and the tag, you know the price tag that they put on there?
Yeah.
It was categorized as fiction.
Okay.
Right? So it says Holy Bible, but then in the corner, this tag that's got put on there, the category says fiction. And so this caused an outrage among Christians, sharing all kinds of things. It turns out the CEO of Costco is a devout Catholic.
Yeah.
And this was a minor clerical error.
Yeah.
That wasn't even the fault of Costco, really. I think the tag was put on, if I understand it correctly, it was put on somewhere else by someone else and it was brought in.
Okay.
And so it wasn't even really Costco. So I think it was Ed Stetzer who wrote the article here on Christianity Today, and he was quoting somebody saying, well, you know, Costco apologized for something that's not even their fault, really. Good for them. But now will Christians apologize to Costco? Because Christians were so outraged, they were calling for, again, you know, boycott
Costco?
Costco,
oh,
and that
man.
Sort of thing. And again, this was just, it's not so much fake news. This was just completely misunderstood, right?
Misunderstanding,
Yeah, and then
I mean, you get other stories that are just no truth whatsoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the article that we were looking at, the title of it is "An Embarrassing Week for Christians Sharing Fake News." So one of the articles or one of the stories that came out was a pastor arrested for refusing a same-sex marriage, and this one was absolutely not true at all.
Right, and it's one of those cases where, you know, it fits the narrative that you have, so you. When you find a story like that, your guard tends to come down a little bit, right? So, for example, I mean, whether you're Christian or not, like this happens on, I see this happen for my friends who are politically a little bit more liberal. For example, they're very critical of anything that links terrorism to Islam, but anything that has to do with promoting Islam as a religion of peace, which is debated in some circles, then they tend to be a little bit less critical. And if you actually read the stuff there, it's like, wow, you know, like I mean, there's some truth to what they're saying, but you know, it's not the whole picture. So that's a little bit unfortunate. And again, Christians, we do the same thing. It fits our narrative, you know, Christians being politically persecuted in the West, and so a pastor gets arrested for refusing a same-sex marriage. Hey, that...
Boy, that gets us going.
Yeah.
In this free country.
Because we're so eager to say, you know, because there are some people who would say, no, Christians are not being persecuted in the West.
Right.
And something like this pops up, hey, here's the evidence, right? And so we're so eager to present that as evidence that counters the liberal narrative that Christians are not being persecuted. So then we just share it.
Yeah, I like how you put it. It fits our narrative. I mean, we certainly get our backs up quicker than maybe the left side. Some of the articles that I read, these guys that are making fake news target actually the alt-right. Mm. So they've actually tested it with people on the left side, like Democrats, as talking down in the States, and it wasn't as effective. They wouldn't believe it right out. But you get these stories about, you know, Christians and pastors and Bible lawsuits, you know, about certain wording. That was the other one.
Another fake news item.
Fake news item. But that one was partially true, but not, you know, not fully fake. But there was just discrepancy in the timeline there. But the target of these guys, and it's interesting that they were targeting, especially within the presidential election, the right and Trump supporters who would just gobble this stuff up because they got their backs up so quickly.
And yeah, like some of these stories have a huge impact, right? It's not just a woman, you know, who wants this paid maternity leave for adopting a puppy. We can laugh about that. But in this case, supposedly impacted the election of the most powerful country in the world. I guess what I want to say is that, you know, be careful because your carelessness can have some really significant impact. Some political matters will impact the lives of millions of people.
Yeah.
In this article that Ed Stetzer wrote, An Embarrassing Week for Christians Sharing Fake News, he offered some, you know, how to fix the false rumor you spread.
Yeah, they were helpful.
So the first one he said was post a retraction, right? Really do it was what he said. In other words, if you've shared something false and you know it, just come out, you know, own it. And say,
don't show some integrity.
Right.
That's what he says, right?
Right. Yeah. Don't just try to rationalize it, justify it, just say, sorry, you know, like this was an error. And he cites Proverbs 2:20-21, where it says, so follow the way of good people and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land and those of integrity will remain in it. And then he later quotes Proverbs 28:18. Where it says, the one who lives with integrity will be helped, but one who distorts right and wrong will suddenly fall. And I think we have a couple of options here, right? Either we post something that's fake and we try to rationalize it. And you know what? When you try to do that, people can see it. I've done it certainly in the past and I'm not proud of it. Either you try to justify it and have everybody see through you, or you state a retraction, and that actually will make you a lot more respectable because you're the kind of person who can own up to mistakes.
Right.
And so whatever you share next time will be a little bit more credible in the eyes of those around you, I think. And the second thing that Ed Stetzer suggested connected to the first point is, well, don't excuse it by saying, well, it might be true, or, well, there is something like that out there. This story may not be true, but there is something like that out there anyway. So this can sort of be used as the gateway, right? Like
yeah.
This is not accurate, but this is fake, but this is an accurate representation of what's happening out there, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Don't excuse
it
by
saying. Yeah, he's just, I think, coming back to just own it up, you know, own it. And confess that this is not the real deal. Show some humility.
Yeah. You were deceived.
You were deceived. So
you were duped. That's all there is to
it,
really. Own it.
Period.
Yeah. Don't try to rationalize it. And then the third point was be less gullible the next time. And some of the things that he suggested, for example, was check the URL or the link And for example, there was that story about the pastor being arrested for refusing a same-sex marriage.
Right.
It looked like it was from NBC, but if you look at the link, apparently it was nbc.com.co.
So not the real deal.
Not the real deal. If you know a little bit about HTTP and all that kind of stuff, whatever comes at the very end, you have to really pay attention. Like those, you know, it's www.apologeticscanada.com. And so that .com, the last bit that comes there, that's really important because anything in front of that is the subdomain of what's back there. So within the domain .com is Apologetics Canada, and within that, Apologetics Canada is...
And that's something pretty simple to look for.
Yeah.
Right? And in determining if this is fake or not.
Good little piece of advice there. And he also suggested, you know, don't post what you can't confirm. I remember hearing a story about when ISIS first started getting spotlights and things like that. There was this one guy on CNN who was talking about, you know, ISIS beheading people and things like that. And some people were kind of skeptical, especially friends on the left side of the political spectrum. They were like, no, this can't even be verified. And all of these other news websites that talked about this issue all referenced this one interview that CNN had with this one guy. Now, CNN, depending on your view, is a pretty respectable media organization.
Yeah.
Again, depending on your view of the media as a whole, and it also depends on your view of CNN. But what I have found is that CNN, I guess everybody wants to be the first to break the news.
Yeah.
I've seen that sometimes CNN will jump on a story, and it might well be true, but it might take a little while before you can confirm it, right?
Right.
So what do you do in a case like that? As a general rule, I am very conservative about stuff that I share. And I don't mean conservative in political terms. I just don't share stuff very often.
Yeah.
And I will only share stuff that I've actually read.
Yeah.
And often you want to look at things like, let me give you an example. I won't share stuff very easily, but when I do share stuff, I'll try to find some respectable sources. But as with anything, everybody has a bias, right? So, for example, if I'm sharing something on abortion, likely I'll share something from, say, Live Action or LifeSite News, that sort of thing. Now, these guys obviously have their bias or their prejudice, if you will. They've already come to a conclusion about an issue, and they're going to speak from that. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
The question is, well, can you actually justify that conclusion that you already came to? Now, that's a whole nother discussion, you know, the morality of abortion and all that kind of stuff we can talk about. And so with that in mind, I'll post something from, say, Live Action News and things like that. But what I do when I do that is if, for example, the article cites a study and things like that and they have links, I will actually go check that out.
Yeah.
Is the link actually working? You know, is the link actually taking me to the right study?
Yeah.
And I'll just briefly read through the study if I can afford the time and make sure that all the numbers that they're citing, for example, are correct here, you know, and then I'll share something like that.
So how much longer does that take you, really, realistically?
It depends on how much time you want to put into it.
Yeah.
But really, just the act of clicking on that link to make sure this is the kind of study, that takes all of 5 minutes, not even.
Yeah.
Right? And if you want to actually read more and actually analyze it more closely, that sort of thing, that may take you like half an hour or something like that.
But just to verify that it is
just
truthful.
To quickly verify.
Yeah.
And even that is going to really help, right? When you share stuff, I'm actually a lot more comfortable sharing stuff that's not from mainstream media necessarily. Again, when it comes to abortion, I'll share stuff from anti-abortion groups because that's my stance too. And I've come to my conclusion on abortion based on some philosophical and scientific ideas or whatever,
right?
Premises. And so then I'll share it. And so I'm ready when somebody comes to me and says, this source is biased, I better be ready to say, well, it's one of those, you know, if you know your logic, you understand a fallacy called ad hominem circumstantial. Basically, you say, well, of course that group will say that because that's what they believe. That has nothing to do with whether what they say is actually true.
Yeah.
And so that's what I go off of, right? So if somebody accuses me of, you know, sharing something from a biased source, I'll say, okay, let's say this was posted by some, you know, neo-Nazi group.
Yeah.
Okay. How does that change what's being said there? If this article, for example, is referencing this study and says, for example, you know, however many percent of women suffer some negative effect after having an abortion or whatever, then I'll want to go check that out. Make sure the study is there. Make sure the numbers are correct. Make sure the study is from where it says it's from.
Yeah.
You know, then it doesn't matter whether this is published by a neo-Nazi group or by Planned Parenthood or by whoever else, Live Action or whoever else. That's what I'll go off of. So sometimes when I share stuff, I just tell people, I don't agree with everything here, but this part here, this is good.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll say that.
In this article, I liked how he ended the whole article. He says, as Christians, we have a higher standard than even the journalists, mm-hmm. you know, to get truth out there. I thought that was a great point. I wonder how many people, I don't know if you have used Snopes before.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know of that, you know, a few years back. Is that helpful for you?
Sometimes.
Has it been?
Sometimes it's helpful.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll...
There's been controversy about that site as well.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's stuff, for example, about, you know, this is what Donald Trump said on Twitter or whatever, you know, like...
Yeah.
And it turns out he didn't say that, and they actually explain... You know, why that couldn't be the case. And if that makes sense to me, then I'd be more inclined to trust it. I mean, I don't just trust it because it's from Snopes.
Yeah.
I'll trust it because it makes sense to me.
Right. I still think it could be a helpful resource mm-hmm. in the sense of finding that it truth or not, you know. Again, I think I agree with you that I wouldn't trust it fully either.
Yeah.
It would just be another resource to check at mm-hmm. Just to see. Yeah, I didn't know about that, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, I only found out about it just a few months ago.
But, oh, seriously? Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty new to me. But anyway, that's probably a good note to end on. I guess we just want everybody, all of the listeners who are Christians, to remember that Christian life, it should be one that's marked by excellence in all areas. You know, whether it is showing grace to others, you know, outdoing one another in kindness, or whether it is your academic excellence or excellence in sniffing out fake news stories and doing your part in not sharing it. And when you do end up sharing one, actually owning up to your mistakes and retracting your mistakes and things like that. And so
that's great.
Let's just keep that in mind. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and happy new year to you. And we'll see you in the new year.